Just because it's Christmas, it doesn't mean that the stove is hot. If anything, it's not just grandma's cookies. Free agency is continuing. Let's talk about it.
You're listening to First Pitch, your daily MLB recap covering all the top stories in Major League Baseball.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to First Pitch. I'm your host, Christian Rau. You can find me on Twitter at @FirstPitch_MLB, joined by Troy Brock, Troy B Baseball, on the Twitter machine. And Merry Christmas. Happy holidays to everyone who celebrates, because we have a fantastic Christmas Eve episode for you today. We will not be here on Christmas Day. I think we need a day off, right, Troy? But who knows if there's going to be a day off for baseball, because even though some people believe it's the case, every single day, baseball can happen. It is an interesting, interesting game, and it seems like it's not slowing down anytime soon when it comes to free agency. We got three big free agencies to talk about. We got to talk about a pitcher that's still on the board to see where his fit still goes. And then I think we should have some fun, Troy. I think we should end off this show with a little bit of Christmas wish list. We'll maybe talk about some contenders, maybe your favorite team, things like that to wrap up this show as we head into the holiday. So, Troy, how's it going? And you ready to get started?
I'm ready, buddy. Happy holidays, everybody.
It's going to be a fun episode for you today. You know, Jeff Passan put out some stuff just the other night, and it sounded like he didn't sleep. So maybe he's the mouse, you know, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. I mean, in this case, Passan was stirring. There's no doubt about that. But Sean Manaea signs a 3-year deal, $75 million to stay with the Mets. There is some deferred money in the deal, according to Passan. Manaea stays with the Mets after signing Juan Soto. I think the only conversation still on the questions or on the books now from the Mets is, will Pete Alonso return? You guys talked about that a little bit yesterday with, will he still secure a bag? I'm with you, by the way. I think he's only going to get a 1-year deal. I think I've said that a couple times already on this show so far this offseason. And I do think that Alonso's going to get only a 1-year deal. I think he's going to get screwed. But talking about Manaea, 3-year deal, same kind of deal like Nathan Eovaldi. You think this is a good deal for the Mets? You think it's a good idea to bring him back? You think it's an overpay, underpay, or you think it's just right?
For Manaea, if you look at his basic stats and his surface level metrics, then it's a good deal for the Mets and for Manaea. And it's a good deal for Manaea all the way around, because when you look at his underlying metrics, it's not that good of a deal, because his underlying metrics tell a completely different story than what people would lead you to believe and how good everybody thinks he is, because there's a lot of blue on his Baseball Savant page, and that's not very good. But, I mean, it does add a little bit more depth to their pitching rotation, and they definitely needed that because they did not really have it. And with Manaea, unlike the rest of their rotation, he doesn't get hurt very often. So he's going to make most of his starts, and that's good for them. That's something they needed. They did overpay for it drastically, in my opinion, but they did need somebody that can eat innings and post 28 to 32 times a season.
So according to Fangraphs, now their starting rotation will be Sean Manaea, Kodai Senga, Frankie Montas, David Peterson, and they still got Clay Holmes in that starting pitching five spot. But they also have guys like they just signed Griffin Canning to a free agent deal. They just picked him up. Paul Blackburn. Right now they have both of them in the bullpen, but both have starting pitching potential and obviously can be in that rotation. And then you got guys that I think are going to make their appearance this season, and I think are going to make some really good appearances this year with Brandon Sprott. I think he's going to be a really great pitcher for this squad. Obviously, Taylor McGill still down in AAA. We don't know if we'll see a guy like Blade Tidwell as well. I think they have a lot of decent young pieces to be able to make sure they have enough players for 162. You know, if we've learned anything about last season, when we talk about the Dodgers who won it all, and I've made the joke multiple times on the show where I remember at the beginning of the year last year, MLB Network had this big graphic of all the Dodgers pitchers, and the names were falling off the graphic because there were so many pitchers on that roster, and they needed them all because of the injuries, things like that. You don't know the status of Kodai Senga. Like, at least you don't know what you can rely on personally, because you only saw, what, 6 innings from him last year, right? And he didn't have the greatest postseason either. Now, he was rushed back. I don't think he should have returned, but there was an opportunity for the Mets to make some noise in the postseason, and they did, thanks to your Phillies, Troy. And I do think that seeing him with a full offseason recovery, he should be back to normal. Having Manaea as your perceived number one pitcher, Do you think it's enough? Do you think they still need to add one more to maybe battle Clay Holmes for that fifth spot, maybe put Holmes back in the bullpen where he is used to be going? Or do you think this is enough for the Mets moving forward?
If it were me, I would definitely add one more, just like you said. Kodai Senga has proven to be injury prone so far in Major League Baseball, because it's a completely different schedule here and a completely different workload here than it is in NPB. And in NPB, they're pitching once a week. Here, you're pitching a lot of times twice a week. And so it's just, it's a lot of the pitchers from NPB do go through a pretty extended period of injuries whenever they're trying to make that transition. But if it were me, I would add one more, because also Frankie Montas is frequently injured. And so those guys in the minor leagues might not be ready to make that jump to Major League Baseball. They could, and they could very well, like you said, they could come up and do very well, but they're not proven. I would try to go for one more proven guy, but they're kind of, I mean, at this point, I think they're kind of banking on what they've got as far as pitching, because they've made a lot of additions and they've spent a lot of money. They've almost spent $1 billion this offseason. Granted, $765 million of that was to Juan Soto alone, but they've still almost spent $1 billion this offseason, and that's a lot of money in one offseason.
Try to put your bias aside here, and I know that's hard to do because that's just how baseball is, and you obviously have a feeling, but try your best, because we're talking about the NL East. With the addition of Sean Manaea, obviously Juan Soto, this team has improved. I think there's no doubt about that. If they bring Pete Alonso back, I think you can obviously say this team is going to be in good shape, at least in the bats. And then you leave your opinion up to you what you think about this rotation. Is this team still the third best team in the National League East, or second? Or do you think they have a chance to win the division next year?
No, all bias aside, this is no better than the third best team. The additions that they have made to the rotation, while it is better than what they had going into 2025, it's still not great. It's still not going to move the needle. Like I said, Sean Manaea's underlying metrics tell a completely different story than how his surface numbers show he did in 2024, and they still have to face some of the best offenses in baseball multiple times a year. The Washington Nationals just added Christian Walker. So their offense of a young core that should improve yet again going into 2025 also now has a proven veteran at first base with some pop, as well as Ronald Acuna Jr.'s coming back, Michael Harris, Austin Riley, Matt Olson, Marcelo Ozuna. It's just the number of players that the Mets pitching staff has to face on a regular basis is just too great a list of top 100 players in baseball for that pitching staff to be enough. And then their offense, Juan Soto and Francisco Lindor are the only really proven things, and Francisco Lindor doesn't do it consistently. Mark Vientos, maybe, if he can repeat what he did in 2024. And then even if they do get Pete Alonso back, all he's good for is home runs. So their offense is pretty weak, and like I said, the best they can do, in my opinion, no bias at all, is third best in the division. And even that, they're going to have a run for their money with what the Nationals are about to do in 2025.
I do think the Nationals are going to be a really good team. I noticed you didn't mention the Marlins. Is there any reason for that? You don't think they're a competitive team this year with all the things they've added and haven't subtracted this offseason?
You know what? Starlin Cabba and Omarion Boyd, they're coming for y'all. Them 19-year-old single-A ball players, they're coming for y'all in 2025.
That's probably the most that I'll give Marlins crap on this show, because their fans are already going through it. We don't need to give them any more on this one. All right, let's go to the next one. There was a trade. Jock Peterson 2 years for $37 million to the Rangers. I don't know why I said trade. These are all free agent signings. 2 years, $37 million to the Texas Rangers. Jock Peterson, a great lefty. They just said goodbye to Nathan Lowe in a trade. So, I mean, this could be a nice addition. I think he's going to probably just be a DH, though. But overall, this is a nice piece. The Rangers trying to find a way to get back to the top of the AL West. I think there's a prime opportunity to do so with whatever Houston's doing with their changes and getting rid of guys like Bregman and moving on from Kyle Tucker. There's an opportunity. So what's your overall thoughts about Jock Peterson going to the 2023 World Series champions?
Yeah, Jock Peterson, like you said, he's a really good lefty hitter. He's mostly been much better against righty pitchers than lefty pitchers. I just pulled it up while you were talking. In his career, he has an 844 OPS against righty pitchers and a 630 OPS against lefty pitchers in his career. So they'll most likely use him as a strong side platoon guy, either in the outfield or first base where Nathaniel Lowe was, or at DH. And on a strong side platoon, he's a good player. I think that might have overpaid for him a little bit, just that, but it's I mean, I say they've overpaid for him, but it's the market this year. And Lindsay and I kind of touched on it last night or yesterday, it's the market this year is really putting a lot of value on free agents and not as much value on trade pieces. And you've seen that with the contracts that have been handed out, like $18.5 million for a platoon guy, even a strong side platoon guy. That's a lot of money for a platoon guy, and specifically one that is an outfielder or DH. Like, I think they overpaid. I think it's a good fit for them. I mean, they need to do something. The Astros are taking steps back from kind of just gradually year over year over the past couple of years, and so that division is getting more up for grabs than it has been over the last better part of a decade. So I like Jock Peterson to the Rangers. It just might be an overpay.
They have a lot of versatility now, I think, because you got four lefties now on the active roster right now. When you look at Seager, Peterson, you got Evan Carter, and you got Josh Smith sitting down right now. According to Fangraphs, you got him on the bench. But you got those, and you still have two switch hitters in Jonah Heim and Leodis Taveras. Overall, this team, and you look at it on paper, it's hard not to get excited about thinking this team can make some pop, can do some exciting things after the trade from Jake Berger, after picking up Kyle Higashioka, for, you know, obviously hoping that, you know, Semin and Seager can have another solid year. Langford can have a great campaign off his rookie year. You hope to see more from Evan Carter. Hopefully, you know, the injuries are over. You know, Adolis Garcia, you know that he can have pop, but he had some issues last year. Josh Young, obviously, it was injured for a long time. If they stay healthy and you have a couple players bounce back, like, for example, Jake Berger, we saw him do great things when he was with Chicago. And then even the year he was traded from Chicago to Miami, he had a great year. He didn't have a fantastic year last year. But if you can get him back in the 20-25 home run range, and then Jock Peterson, if you could find a way to get him, what, 20 home runs? That's a pretty good spot, I would say. You think 20 home runs is doable for a guy like Jock Peterson in his age 33 season?
Yeah, I think he can get 20 home runs, especially playing in not San Francisco for most of his games. I know he was a Diamondback last year, but he still played some games in San Francisco. And the Texas Rangers have guys with a lot of pop, and they're not all of them had that pop before they went to Texas. So something's going on down there, and it seems like it's a good place to hit home runs. And they just, like you said, they just got to keep guys healthy. Corey Seager hasn't really been able to be healthy for entire seasons, and I don't know what was going on with Adolis Garcia last year, but he had a massive drop off. But they got to keep guys healthy and get Adolis Garcia back to what he did in 2023, which at this point might be an outlier.
How many home runs did Jock have last year? You have that pulled up right now?
I actually exited out of that, but I can pull it up right quick. He hit Jock Peterson hit 23? A total of 23 home runs last year.
So he had 23, and if you put it all at Globe Life Park, it'd actually be 21. So adjusted factor, according to StatCast, it's a little bit lower. So I don't know if you think it's a good thing or a bad thing overall. But when you look at some of the other players across the division, they're all lower as well, with the exception of the Angels and the Mariners still sticking at 23. So if you're thinking that all of his, you know, the majority of his games are going to be in the division now, the stat-wise adjusted doesn't like it for a power perspective, and he's getting a little bit older. So if you're playing the futures bet, I don't know if that's even a possibility on a futures bet for home runs over under. If you were trying to compare to last year, I would play the under. I think maybe under 23, because you got to play a lot more in the AL West moving forward. That's interesting. I love that. StatCast Park Factor data is so fun. Overall, if you had to make a decision right now based on the moves that just happened, and I love doing this after every move that happens, and you know, you're picking the pan off the stove, putting it back on, back and forth, maybe giving a little zhuzh, add a little bit of oil. In this case, we added a Jock Peterson. Is the Texas Rangers the best team in the AL West if we started the season right now?
That one's tough. I mean, the AL West as a whole is just it's gotten a lot more competitive. The Seattle Mariners are still competitive, even though they don't want to spend any money or don't want to make any trades to bring guys in, and they're looking to move Luis Castillo. Maybe they're still competitive. The Houston Astros are still competitive, especially after adding Christian Walker. On paper, it would probably be the Texas Rangers, just because I think they might have the edge in pitching over the Astros. The Mariners have the edge in pitching over most everybody in Major League Baseball, but I think the Rangers have the better offense than the Mariners as a whole. So I think that it's very close, like one or two game difference between those three teams. But I think maybe on paper, the Rangers are probably the favorite for the American League West right now.
All right, let's finish up talking conversation about free agent deals before we get to our Christmas wish list. My God, I can't even talk today. This is crazy. Too much eggnog, right? That's what it is. Walker Buehler, one-year deal, $21.05 million to the Boston Red Sox. I like this deal. I think it's an interesting one. I think it's a cool thing for Boston, too. I think it's really a no-risk for Boston, because if he walks, I'm pretty sure you can give him a qualifying offer, if I'm correct. Yep. So pretty interesting on that move. Now, really, this offseason, they've added bookends to the rotation, bringing in Garrett Crochet, who's obviously going to be your new ace. Walker Buehler, I'm guessing, is going to be the back end of your rotation. Then you got other guys like Tanner Houck, Byron Bayo, Cutter Crawford in the middle of that rotation. And you're still waiting on guys like Lucas Giolito. You just picked up Patrick Sandoval. You still wait on the injuries from Garrett Whitlock. I think this rotation heading into this last season was, at the beginning of the season, I should say, was one of the best in baseball. It really was. When you look at the numbers, Boston was doing some really good things. Remember when you and I were working for Avalon Sports and we were covering the Boston Red Sox, there was a lot of times we were talking about how good this pitching staff was. Now it eventually fell off and some injuries happened and all that good stuff. And, you know, it just was what it was. But now when you look at this rotation, you see a couple names like Crochet, you see Walker Buehler. If he could step up and be 2024 playoff Walker Buehler, not 2024 regular season Walker Buehler, he could really provide a huge spark for this Boston Red Sox team in a division that they are going to need every game. Every game means so much in the AL East when you're battling with teams like New York Yankees and the Baltimore Orioles, who have been close to touching 100 wins over the last two seasons.
Yeah, I did not expect to see the Red Sox signing Walker Buehler. I honestly expected him to go back to the Dodgers. So that was a surprise today when that notification came across my phone. But the way that this show kind of works is you're probably out of the three of us, you are probably the most optimistic of us. And I think Lindsay kind of rides in the middle and I'm probably the most pessimistic of all of us. And there's a band for those that have watched the show on YouTube. You have seen me in countless band shirts and I'm a huge pop punk fan. It was never a phase, Mom. And there's a band called Say We Can Fly. And there's a line in one of their songs that says, you got to hope for the best and prepare for the worst. And I know that they didn't coin that phrase. That's a normal phrase. Everybody knows that. And that's kind of how I live my life. I hope for the best, but my mind's always thinking about what's the worst thing that can happen. And the Red Sox are kind of the antithesis of those teams that we've talked about over the past few weeks, of the Braves, the Astros, the Rays, and then the Brewers are probably on that next tier under those three teams of teams that are pitching factories and guys go there as bad pitchers and get better. You've seen over the past better part of a decade, you've seen good pitchers go to the Red Sox and either A, get much, much worse, or B, can be perennially hurt, and the case of specifically Chris Sale, who then left the Red Sox, was healthy for an entire season, won the National League Triple Crown, and won the National League Cy Young Award with one of the pitching factories, the Atlanta Braves. So I like Walker Buehler to the Red Sox. I am a big Walker Buehler guy, and I think that he is a good pitcher. I think that last 2024 in the regular season was a lot of him trying to get back into the swing of things from being hurt. I don't know if he's going to do well on the Red Sox. If he does, that's great. They definitely needed some more pitching and more veteran consistent pitching in their rotation, and Walker Buehler could be that guy if he can get back to prior to his injury levels of production or 2024 postseason levels of production. But I don't know with the Red Sox, just from the history that they've shown us over the last better part of a decade.
Well, let's put that pan back on the stove then, Troy. And let's say, you know, this team was 81-81 last year, 500. You can't get any more mediocre than that in the eyes of MLB baseball. You really can't. It's right in the middle. 13 games behind New York Yankees for the division. Is this team better right now than 81 wins?
I would say if in 2025, I would say that as it stands right now, they are better than 81 wins. I think they might be an 85, 86 win team, but I think they are better than 81 wins. With them improving, I don't think they're going to catch up with the Yankees. The Yankees have done much more to improve than most teams this offseason. They might catch up with the Orioles, who have been stagnant this offseason and have done nothing of note. So I could see them catching up with the Orioles, but I don't know if they'd catch the Yankees.
85, 86 wins. You said 86. The Detroit Tigers made the postseason, 86 and 76, yep, this past season. You make a five-game jump, you're competing for the Fall Classic next season. So, I mean, I think Boston fans would take that. I think every day of the week, based on what they've gone through ever since the Mookie Betts trade, ever since letting Xander Bogaerts walk, and a lot of question marks, what's happening. You know, I think there's still going to be some additions. I don't think Boston's done. They may be done with their pitching rotation. I think they have a couple more questions, maybe attacking their middle infield. I think that might be a possibility. I still think a guy like Gleyber Torres is out there. Boston could land him. That'd be an interesting piece. I'm surprised he's still out there. There's a couple spots where I think he could land. I think Boston's a really good spot for a guy like Gleyber Torres. All right, let's move on into our Christmas wish list. I said it right that time. Wow, look at that. The buzz might be wearing off. All right, so let's go ahead and talk about some contenders here with their wish list. We already brought up some of these teams that we already discussed today with the Boston Red Sox. We talked about the Texas Rangers. We talked about the who went first? The New York Mets. So let's go to the New York Yankees. Let's start there. If you are Brian Cashman, what are you wishing for Christmas this next year, Troy?
Whew, they've done a lot this offseason. I mean, if this is specifically wish list, so this is going to be just fun stuff, I'd probably say Corbin Burns at this point to go ahead and put a cherry on top of the additions they've already made to their rotation with Max Fried and the other additions they've made. I'd say if I'm Brian Cashman, my Christmas wish list is Corbin Burns, and that would be the end of the offseason.
If you had Corbin Burns in a Yankee rotation right now as it stood, and it would be Corbin Burns in no particular order, because you know, you'd make it up yourself. You'd have Corbin Burns, Garrett Cole, Max Fried, Carlos Rendon, and Luis Gil as your five. I would assume Marcus Stroman would be the odd man out in that conversation. Be pretty dang good. Marcus Stroman was thought to be traded at one point this season. So if you added a guy like Corbin Burns, that trade could still be in place. That would be quite an interesting go. I'll take the Los Angeles Dodgers, since you took the Yankees for a Christmas list. And if we're going to continue to have fun, well, why don't we continue to keep talking about the Los Angeles Dodgers spending, right? I think that they could add, if anything, you keep talking about what they can do moving forward. I think you could still add some outfield help. I think you really could. You just got Michael Conforto, but I think you could have a guy like him on the bench. Andy Páez, he's been fun, but you know, he's still playing the corner outfield. And Teoscar Hernandez is still out there on the books. If you can't get Teoscar Hernandez, how about we flip it and say Anthony Santander heads to the Los Angeles Dodgers? I think a corner outfield spot could be Hernandez, could be Santander, but just for the change of it, Santander with LA. I mean, I think they're already the World Series favorite, but you add a guy like that who is coming off a career year to the ravine. I mean, how could you not pick the Dodgers? Betting against them, any other team would be basically giving your money away, in my opinion.
Yeah, I do like the fit of Santander in Los Angeles. He's a switch hitter too, so that would add some more versatility to their lineup construction.
All right, heads or tails, Troy?
Heads.
All right. Well, in that case, you got the worst team in Major League last season, and that's the Chicago White Sox. Going from contenders to pretenders, are they still pretenders? Will they have a step up next year? They did have some new management. They did make some trades. It looks like they're on the right path to rebuilding. Obviously, I don't think they're going to be a playoff team next year. I think that's fair to say. But if you had to give a quick Christmas wish list for the folks in Chicago, the White Sox, the South Side, what are you going with?
a new paper bag to wear over my head if I attend any games.
I don't think it's going to be as bad as last year.
No, I don't think it's going to be as bad as last year. It's hard to be as bad as last year. Literally no one has ever been as bad as last year.
Very true. That's very true.
It's but no, I don't think it'll be as bad as last year. It's still going to be bad. It's still going to be rough. But the wish list for the Chicago White Sox is 10 more wins, man, in 2025. 10 more wins in 2025.
I'm going to add a little bit to yours. I'm going to say inning eaters, because right now, if you look at their rotation, they got a lot of young guys on their rotation. Jonathan Cannon, Sean Burke, Bryce Wilson, Drew Thorpe. But you don't want to completely, you know, hurt them as they're building up their team. Grab some inning eaters. You guys like Kyle Gibson, you know, along those lines, you know, those kind of players, not him in particular. But I think on the wish list, you add like two or three of them on some short 1-year deals. Maybe if they get good enough, you can flip them at the deadline. So deadline pieces, that's a good idea for the Chicago White Sox. And I think that's the same exact thing for the Miami Marlins. And that's where I'm going to go with mine for my pretender, because I think that's probably the worst team in the National League right now. It could be them or the Rockies. But what Miami's doing right now, basically selling their team for peanuts, I think you got to put them in that conversation. They have so many prospects. When is it finally time to make the move to start competing? I don't think it's this year. I don't think you have any choice but to make that happen. But if you're going to make a Christmas wish list in this conversation, I think your Christmas wish list is to get ankle weights as very heavy as you possibly can and wrap around Sandy Alcantara so he does not leave Miami. You listen to that, Peter Bendix? Don't make that happen. At least give this team something to be excited about. Keep Sandy in Miami. That's fair.
Yeah, yeah, they've got to keep at least one star. They have traded everybody on their roster and have barely anything to show for it. And it's crazy what they're doing down there. But he's getting rid of all the old regime and bringing in a new regime. So Sandy Alcantara is going to be huge for them in 2025, and he's going to have to pitch like 300 innings coming off of Tommy John surgery. That poor dude, man.
All right, let's finish off this show. Talk about our favorite teams. We did contenders, pretenders, and then our favorite teams that we like to root for. The Philadelphia Phillies, Troy. If you're Dave Dombrowski, if you are the man that just made some pretty interesting trades, even though he had some senile ones just a few days ago beforehand, seems like he's finally having a decent offseason in your mind. What should they get for Christmas? What's on their list?
Teoscar Hernandez and Jeff Hoffman. Teoscar Hernandez and Jeff Hoffman. I know they just got Max Kepler, his best bet. I'd rather have Nick Castellanos starting in the outfield, because that'll keep Max Kepler from getting hurt and being paid $10 million to sit on the injured list for the entire season. So I would say get Teoscar Hernandez and have your outfield be Teoscar, center field of Brandon Marsh and Rojas, right field of Nick Castellanos, fourth outfielder be Max Kepler, and then Jeff Hoffman for the bullpen, because – that's not looking great right now, and adding Jeff Hoffman to the back end of that would make it look a lot better.
I'm going to go with the St. Louis Cardinals. That's a team that I like to follow more than anyone, and I'm going to go ahead and say for their Christmas wish list, what I'm giving them for Christmas is a bunch of stock and Fisher-Price. I want the kids to play. I want the kids to play, Troy. I want to see guys like Mason Wynn. I want to see guys like Lars Nootbaar, Jordan Walker, Victor Scott II. I want to see Nolan Gorman, Michael Ciani. I want to see all those guys play. I want to see hopefully a fast push through the majors from guys like J.J. Weatherholt. I want to see the young guys play and see what they got. Going into a lame duck year with the management, with John Mozeliak leaving after the season, and you obviously know that you're going to be saying goodbye at some point to guys like Nolan Arenado. Already said goodbye to Paul Goldschmidt. I think at some point you're going to have some veteran on your squad. It looks like Wilson Contreras is going to be that dude for the years down the road. Even Ivan Herrera is going to be your catcher, hopefully, of the future. Let the kids play. Even if that means more trades, like saying goodbye to Nolan, maybe Sonny Gray, Eric Fetty. That's who I want. I think that's a fair one. What a way to head into the Christmas break. Troy, I hope you have a great holiday. And I hope you get everything you wish for. I hope everything's in your stocking. Maybe when you reach through your stocking and you get the thing you want the most, and it's saying on the Christmas card, congratulations, Taiwan Walker is the opening day starter for 2025.
Well, hey, before we get out of here, though, real quick, since we did just touch on the Cardinals, did you see that they turned down a trade for Marcus Stroman for Nolan Arenado?
Would you? I think I would, too.
Oh, I mean, God, yeah, I'd turn down that trade. I ain't blocked by Marcus Stroman yet on Twitter, but I'm working on it, man.
You're trying to get rid of a contract with Nolan Arenado, but he's a leader on your team. Getting rid of him for another contract that's just as bad, if not worse, is just not a good idea. If you're going to move a guy like Nolan Arenado, who has been the leader of your squad for the last couple seasons, it's got to be for a complete salary dump, maybe picking up just a little bit of money to get more prospects back, but not for getting a veteran with money back. Like that doesn't help them at all for their future plans. I don't want to see a veteran come back in that trade, even if that means it helps them perform better in 2025, because this team in my mind is going to be at the bottom of the NL Central. That's why I want Fisher Price to hop in, and hopefully they got a sponsorship behind home plate, because I want to see those kids play. Yeah. Worse Cardinals are not going to be good next year. Yeah. If I was playing the over unders right now, I'm putting the Cardinals in last in NL Central.
Wow. Okay. That's a nice way to end it and head into Christmas.
Yeah. Yeah. Merry Christmas. All right, folks, we'll get it back here. We'll be back here to end the week. We'll still be back here on, Friday. Yeah. We'll be back here on Friday for another episode of First Pitch. But until then, have a great holiday. Enjoy your Christmas, and we'll see you at the end of the week. Take care.